أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تعالى في القرآن الحكيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالت العرب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من أعمالكم شيئا إن الله غفور رحيم إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. The translation of this verse is as follows. The dwellers of the desert say, "We believe." Say to them, "You do not believe, but rather you should say, 'We have submitted,' or 'We have become Muslims,' and faith has not yet entered into your hearts. And if you obey Allah and His Messenger, He will not diminish anything of your deeds. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. The believers are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. Then they do not doubt and struggle hard with their wealth and their lives in the way of Allah. Such are the truthful ones." So this is the Holy Quran, chapter 49, verses 14 to 15. Certain rural Arab tribes, or Bedouins as they're often called, they are mentioned here who had just embraced Islam. Some of them claim to be believers or mu'mineen. The Holy Quran here tells the knowledgeable Muslims to say to them that they do not believe and cannot claim to be believers of a high degree because they are only novices, newcomers, who do not yet have full faith established in their hearts. So they are told that they should just say, "We have become Muslims," or "We have submitted to the teachings of Islam." And if they obey the commands of God and His Messenger, even superficially in a formal way, like what these days is called a box-ticking exercise, even then, if they have some grain of sincerity in their hearts, even though they don't have full faith, nonetheless, this obedience will lead them to higher stages and will not go to waste. So, the verses then go on to describe who are the true believers. And it says that they are those in whose hearts faith is established so that, as the verse says, they do not doubt. They have no doubts in their hearts about the truth of the faith. And because of their faith, they sacrifice their wealth and their lives in supporting the cause of Islam. So they, according to these verses, are actually the believers, while the other novices, according to this verse, shouldn't say, "We believe." They should just say, "We are Muslims." So these verses allow those people to call themselves Muslims who have not yet developed an urge, attraction, longing or fondness in their hearts for carrying out the injunctions of Islam. Those people can still call themselves Muslims who have not developed that faith in their hearts for carrying out the injunctions of Islam. but they are prepared to do it. They are prepared to do so merely in obedience to God and His messenger. Such people are allowed to call themselves Muslims. Now, on the other hand, that same word submit, where it says here, you should just say we've submitted. That same word submit is also used in a completely higher sense. For example, about Abraham, it is said, is kala lahu rabbahu aslim, kala aslamtu lirrabbil alameen. That when his Lord said to him, that is to say Abraham, submit, he said, I submit myself to the Lord of the worlds. Chapter 2, verse 131. And then there's another verse as well about Abraham, which I'll read just in translation. And it is this: and who is better in religion than he who submits himself entirely to Allah while doing good to others and follows the faith of Abraham, the upright one? Chapter 4, verse 125. Now, when Abraham says to Allah here, I submit, aslamtu, his submission to God is of an incomparably high degree, a much higher degree than the submission of these rural Arabs, about whom the Holy Quran says that they should say, we submit, aslamna. So the word in the Holy Quran relating to someone's submission to God or relating to someone becoming a Muslim, that word is the same. Whether the submission is of the lowest degree, like those rural desert Arabs, or if it is of the highest degree, as was the case with Abraham. And this shows the great inclusivity of Islam, that the lowest and the highest of the believers, they bear the same title in submitting to God. In both cases, they say, we have submitted. Both cases, they are called Muslims. The word Muslim applies to them. And again, the other word, believers, Mu'mineen, and the word for believing, Amanu, that is also used in both ways in the Holy Quran, for the low as well as the high. Now, in the verses which we quoted, which I quoted at the beginning, where it says, believers are those only who believe in Allah and His Messenger, then they do not doubt and struggle hard with their wealth and lives in the way of Allah. That, of course, means the highest grade of believer, the highest grade of mu'mineen. But elsewhere in the Holy Quran, it says this: O you who believe, Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu, why do you say things which you do not do? It is most hateful in the sight of Allah that you say things which you do not do. Here, obviously, the highest grade of believer is not meant, but certain Muslims are meant, who said things which they did not do. When it says, O you who believe, why do you say things which you do not do? It is most hateful in the sight of God that you say things which you do not do. Believers of a high grade cannot be meant. But those Muslims are meant, certain Muslims are meant, who said things and they did not live up to their word. And yet, despite this, they are addressed as, O you who believe. Again, the Holy Quran says, the believers are brethren, in chapter 49, verse 10. here all Muslims are meant, when it says Muslim, believers or brethren, whether they are of little faith or of strong faith. And in the last khutbah, I dealt with how a person joins the Brotherhood of Islam, how a person is identified as a member of the Brotherhood of Islam. And with regard to that, the Holy Quran says, and I quote in translation a verse of the Holy Quran, O you who believe, believe in Allah and His Messenger and the book which He has revealed to His Messenger and the book which He revealed before. And whoever disbelieves in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and the last day, he indeed strays far away. This is chapter 4, verse 136. Now the points of belief listed here are the very fundamentals of the creed of Islam. Believe in Allah and His Messenger and the book. So why does this verse address O you who believe? Why does it say, O you who believe in Allah and His Messenger, when they've become Muslims in the first place by believing those things? They already believe them. And the reason for addressing those who believe is that whatever may be someone's depth of faith in their heart, whatever may be someone's commitment to the faith, they can always improve on it and they can always advance. So this is why all you who believe are told to believe in the fundamentals of Islam. That is to say, improve your belief, develop it. And here the Holy Quran then calls all Muslims as believers, whether they are the novices like the desert Arabs, which we mentioned before, or whether they are believers of the highest commitment and rank. Here they are all addressed as all you who believe. So, as with the word Muslim, the word mu'min or believer in the Quran is applied to everyone in the Brotherhood of Islam. It is applied to those who have little or superficial faith and who say pray or fast with no enthusiasm or joy. And the same word applies to those who have reached the stage that they feel motivated to make great sacrifices for Islam. And I explained in the last khutbah that these fundamental points of belief, which are in this verse, that believe in Allah and His Messenger, and that you should believe in angels, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, these are all summarized in the kalama, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And sometimes, you will be aware, the second part is given slightly differently as Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, rather than Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, that I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Now, these are the words which were proclaimed by anyone who accepted Islam in the Holy Prophet's time. Whenever anyone accepted Islam in his time, in order to declare to people or to tell anyone that he or she was now a Muslim after having belonged to another faith, these are the words which they proclaimed. Now, one example, I'll now go through some examples from the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as recorded in very authentic books of hadith. There was a well-known companion, Hazrat Abu Zar. How, and in the account of his acceptance of Islam in very early days in Makkah, it says that wherever he was living in a distant part of Arabia, he heard that in Makkah there was a man claiming to be a prophet of God. So here in this, Abu Zar came to see the Holy Prophet, met him and became a Muslim at his hand. Now, due to the severe persecution of Muslims at Makkah at that time by the Quraysh, the Holy Prophet advised him to keep his acceptance secret in Mecca and go back to his people. But Abu Zar went out to the Kaaba, and the Quraysh were there, and he declared in front of them, "O people of Quraysh, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." The Quraysh rose up, members of the Quraysh tribe rose up, and they nearly beat him to death. But what I'm trying to show here is that this is how they knew that he had become a Muslim, when he proclaimed this before them. Then there's the story of the acceptance of Islam by another famous companion of the Holy Prophet, and that was in, this was in Medina now. Abdullah ibn Salam, who was a Jewish scholar, he came to meet the Holy Prophet in Medina and accepted Islam. And the people of his community then came to the Holy Prophet, not realizing that Abdullah ibn Salam had accepted Islam. And Abdullah ibn Salam appeared before them, and this is what he said to them: "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." So that is how they knew that he was no longer a Jew but had accepted Islam. Then another example is the conversion of the mother of the famous companion Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira had accepted Islam at Makkah, but he was distressed that his mother hadn't accepted Islam. So he came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him to pray for the guidance of his mother. And the Holy Prophet prayed for her, and this completely satisfied the mind of Hazrat Abu Huraira, and he went back home. As he was approaching his house, near it, he heard the sound of splashing water. That was because his mother was having a bath, and she called out to him saying, "Just wait there till I come out." And after finishing the bath and getting dressed, she opened the door, and what she said was this: "Ya Abu Huraira, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." Hearing this, Abu Huraira rushed back to the Holy Prophet to give him the news that his mother had accepted Islam. Then there's that well-known story which Muslims are told from childhood, that once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coming back from a journey, was taking a break under a tree, and he was asleep, resting under the tree, having hung his sword on a branch of the tree. A desert Arab came upon him while he was asleep, took the Holy Prophet's sword, woke him up, and said, "Who can save you from me now? Who can save you from me now?" The Holy Prophet ﷺ simply replied, "Allah." The sword fell from the man's hand, and the Holy Prophet picked it up. The Holy Prophet picked the sword up and held it up to the man and said, "Who can save you from me now?" And the man said, these are his words in one report, be a better wielder of the sword. He said to the Holy Prophet, you be a better wielder of the sword than I was. And what he really meant was, please forgive me. So the Holy Prophet said to him, do you bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that I am the messenger of Allah? The man said, no. The man said, no. But I promise that I shall not fight you, nor will I side with those who fight you. So at his promise, the Holy Prophet let him go. He had asked him to recite the kalima. The Holy Prophet had asked him to accept Islam by reciting the kalima. And this incident also shows that neither was the Holy Prophet vindictive, nor did he convert people to Islam by the sword. He did not punish the man in any way, even though that man had been so close to being able to kill the Holy Prophet. Still, he did not punish him in any way. And the man didn't accept the kalima. The Holy Prophet was holding the sword, and the man didn't accept the kalima. So the Holy Prophet let him go, and he just went back to his people. And it is said that he told them that he had met the best person ever. Now, the last example I'll give is again relates to one of the most famous people of the time, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle, his father's younger brother, Abu Talib. Abu Talib protected the Holy Prophet against his persecutors at Makkah for 10 years. But he himself all this time remained an unbeliever and an idol worshipper. When Abu Talib was about to pass away from this world, the Holy Prophet ﷺ went to see him. And already there with Abu Talib were two staunch opponents of Islam. One of them was this well-known Abu Jahl. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ asked Abu Talib on his deathbed to say, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. But those two opponents of Islam said to Abu Talib, are you going to turn away from the religion of your father? And the Holy Prophet again asked Abu Talib to say, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. But those two opponents again said, are you going to leave or turn away from the religion of your father? So this went on a few times. And in the end, Abu Talib decided to follow his ancestral faith. And it says, he refused to say, La ilaha illallah. This is in Bukhari. And separately, in another hadith, it is reported that Hazrat Abu Bakr asked the Holy Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, what is salvation? What is nijat, as they say in Urdu and Arabic? And the Holy Prophet ﷺ replied, he who accepts the kalima which I put before my uncle, meaning Abu Talib, which I put before my uncle, but which he rejected, that is the means of salvation. La ilaha illallah, which is short for La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So these incidents which I've mentioned, they show that reciting the kalima was a badge of Islam, and it was a badge of being a Muslim. And no Muslim, however great he may be, no great Muslim religious scholar or scholars, no body, no Muslim institute, no Muslim legislature, no Muslim National Assembly. None of them have the right to add extra conditions to this for the acceptance of Islam. It is only Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. And even if someone simply said Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that too is accepted as entry to Islam or as showing your ID card. To show your ID card that I'm a Muslim, you didn't show a card. You said Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. And no legislation, no law, no fatwa of any religious leader, however great or scholarly, can change that. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fil Quranil Azim wa nafa'na wa iyyakum bil ayati wa zikril hakim innahu ta'ala jawadun kareemun malakum barrur raufur rahim.